All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
Get me there.
I don't know what I was trying to do. I was overcome with excitement to get started. I didn't want to wait. It's like second grade all over again. I didn't want to wait for my turn.
I think you're really just here waiting for nap time. That's all that's really going. Get out our little square things of carpet, lay down.
Do you remember nap time?
Dude. I lived for nap time.
Awesome. I don't remember kindergarten. My memory doesn't go back that far. But I remember in first grade, we did not have nap time. But I remember we had quiet time.
Mm.
And that was always a struggle for me.
Huge surprise.
Right. It didn't come easily. And the teacher frequently had to come and give me little, like, projects to do, like, why don't you count all these Tic Tacs and see if there's, you know, how many there are? Not Tic Tacs, but like little, you know, she'd bring me a box of like shit and be like, count this.
Here's what I don't get about those moments, right? It seemed like by the time I finally calmed down or was ready to fall asleep or whatever, it was when it was over.
Right.
And it was like, and then you're like groggy and like upset and like in a worse mood than if you would have just kept going.
Right. Well, here's the thing. This is, and I'm not trying to turn this into like a teacher's podcast, but I'm a big believer in like what they should have done is sent me out to the playground and made me run laps or something. Like, when my kids were little, I used to like take them outside and we would play this game to see how many times they could run around the house. And all I was doing was trying to get them to burn some energy off.
Did it work?
Oh yeah, it worked great. We had all kinds of fun. We would race each other, go opposite directions, and we would see how many times you could do it within a certain minute, and then we would do like how fast can you just go one time around, and then I would like chase them, like I'll give you a head start, we'll see if you can, you know, I'll try to catch you, and all I was doing was just running.
Didn't that cause a paradox for you? Where you were trying to wear them out so you could have a moment of peace.
Right.
But in the process, you wore yourself out. So now you're all worn out.
Right. But proportionately, the energy that it took out of them was of greater significance than the energy it took out of me.
I see how it is.
Anyway, all right. Well, listen, we got movie business. I mean, this week we're going to review Pinocchio.
Right.
Right? Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Guillermo del Bobo.
Guillermo del Bobo.
Del Bobo. But we forgot last week when we were talking about what movies to watch, like there was a new release that we've always watched the new movie.
Right, right.
And we forgot that there was a new release, didn't we?
Did we forget or did we choose not to watch this movie? Because I feel like that might have been more towards...
All right, so true confessions. I completely forgot.
Okay.
Did you forget and just keep it to yourself because you didn't want to watch it?
I didn't forget, but I remembered you saying you didn't want to watch it, so I didn't say anything.
Right. All right. All right, well, listen, I want to apologize to the universe.
Oh.
Because The Marksman, the movie we're talking about with Liam Neeson, The Marksman came out, and I completely forgot about it. It wasn't on my radar. I mean, I booked it at all my movie theaters, and you know, I didn't forget about it in the literal sense. But last week while we were doing the podcast, I forgot to mention it. And not only was it the number one movie this weekend, but I have to say, like, I kind of, and I think you were too, I think we were both like kind of overlooking this movie as like, oh, we've seen this movie before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's another Liam Neeson movie doing exactly what Liam Neeson does. And that's true. I'm not trying to take any of that back, but in our being so pleased with ourselves to cast such a quick and hysterical opinion, we totally overlooked the fact that Liam Neeson is a massive movie star because people enjoy watching him do what he does.
That's true.
I mean, okay, so guess what? A lot of Bruce Springsteen songs sound the same too. You know, a lot of Rolling Stone songs sound the same too. You know, what's his face with the cello? Yo-Yo Ma. You know, a lot of his music sounds the same too, because those guys are masters of their respective crafts. And you could say that Liam Neeson just happens to be a master of his craft. And so my point is this.
I don't know if anyone's ever compared Liam Neeson to Yo-Yo Ma before.
Well, they have now. What's up?
I love it. Okay, your point is.
My point is this. A, the Marksman was number one this weekend, so there's that. That counts for something. I don't know what, but it counts for something. And B, and this is the more important thing, I talked to customers coming out of the Marksman, and I was kind of afraid to ask, but it's kind of automatic. It's like, it's what I do. And I know Mr. Manager is good at doing this too. A good movie theater manager will ask an audience on the way out, like real casually, like, how'd you like it? Did you have fun? Was it, you know, whatever. Everybody who came out of the Marksman was smiling and said, oh, that was great.
Really?
Liam Neeson is so great. That's such a good movie.
Wow.
I'm not trying to take back anything I said. You know, it is predictable. It is, you know, we have seen this movie before, but everybody I talked to who came out and saw the movie, they came out smiling, talking about the movie and really happy with it. So I apologize to Universe for being so smug and full of myself that I was, you know, quick and superior to have an opinion about this movie, because obviously, you know, he's a massive movie star because he's good at what he does.
I don't know. I stick by my opinions.
All right. Let you have this one in the show notes later, so we'll skip it. Okay. And we'll go right to my second big groundbreaking news.
Okay. Yeah, this one, ooh, I'm super intrigued.
All right. So David asked me, you, my co-host.
What, me?
David asked me, I'm about to tell you a news story with a cast that will probably take us a half an hour to read, just the cast.
Right.
And the director is David O. Russell, who brought us some incredible movies, including Joy with Jennifer Lawrence, also American Hustle and Silver Linings and all kinds of great. I mean, David O. Russell is amazing. So I call this news we know nothing about. So the cast for David Russell's new movie includes Robert De Niro, Anya Taylor-Joy, Mike Myers, Timothy Oliphant, Michael Shannon, Chris Rock, Andrea Riseborough, Matthias Schoenaerts, Alessandro Nivola, Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Rami Malek, and Zoe Saldana.
So, what is this, the Clue remake?
I would go see a movie based on any one of those people being in the movie.
Yeah, it's an amazing list of actors.
And if two of these people are in the movie, it's going to be a home run. But all of those people who I just read are all in the movie. So it's obviously got to be the biggest movie on the release calendar, right?
Right. So I see this list here and I come up to Penn and said, Penn, what movie is this?
David said, you forgot to write the name of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. What movie is this? You forgot to put it in.
He was quick to judge me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
quick
a fault.
To throw that stone.
Not a fault, but a character trait.
All right, so David said to me, you forgot to write the name of the movie. Here's why this segment was called News We Know Nothing About. The David O. Russell cast that I just read you, headlining Robert De Niro and Anya Taylor-Joy and all these incredible actors and actresses, the movie has not been announced. There's no title, there's no plot, there's no genre.
Penn, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've got a ton of people on board.
Yeah.
I got Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
I got, you know, Ethan Hawke.
Yep.
I got them all. And yeah. You like them? I got, you know, Edward Norton. They're all on board. Okay. I'm not going to know. I don't know what I'm going to make yet. But I got them all. I haven't contacted them. But
you know, it's funny. You're making a joke, but that says something about David O. Russell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're sitting at home and your agent calls and your agent's like, David, do you want to be in the movie with David O. Russell? And you're like, yes.
Sign me up.
Right. You're not like, what's the movie?
Right. Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I don't know, whatever. I'm not trying to get too sidetracked here, but I thought that was this was reported in Deadline. So it wasn't like a fake news story. And maybe one of our listeners, has better research than I do, but I couldn't find any hints about what movie this is. So if you know, write us in podcast@penncinema.com and enlighten us, because with this cast, this is now my most anticipated movie.
I want to let you in on some real news.
After Croods 3.
All our listeners have better research than we do.
Zinga!
Got him! Hey, look, Ethan Hawke.
I fell for it because I thought you were going to like say something.
No. Ethan Hawke.
No.
I brought him up earlier. I love him. You love him. We love him. He's going to be playing.
Who doesn't?
I know. He's going to be playing the villain in Moon Knight, which is going to star our boy playing Duke Leto Atreides in Dune. I can't think of his name.
Timothée Chalamet.
No, that's not Duke Leto, not Paul Atreides. Wow, why can't I think of his? We are the worst with names. How Oscar Isaac?
I just want to comment how much I enjoyed and can share with our audience the look of disgust on David's face that I named, God forbid, the wrong Dune character, as if I know a single solitary other Dune character.
Look, let me tell you about my Dune addiction and how I had to curb it this week, right? I have no desire to buy the toys, right?
Oh, my God.
I'm in my late 30s. I don't need to be buying these toys, right? I'm just strolling through GameStop that's closing, and 75% off, they got the toys there. And I was almost like, I mean, it's so cheap. How could I not?
Right.
But then I was like, what the hell would I do with these things? So I walked away.
It would be wrong not to buy them at that price.
Right. So I let it sit. Surprisingly, I let it sit. Anyway.
I think that's good. You know why?
Why?
Because now your friends and loved ones have room to buy you Christmas and birthday gifts.
That's true. I will tell you, if they come out with a toy sandworm, though, sign me up. I'm done. I'll be right there for that. Yeah.
Where do you go to buy a toy sandworm?
I don't know. That's what we're going to find out when they make one. I'll be like, front line. All right. So moving on with our news, we got some. I think this is pretty cool news.
I think it's great news.
Yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong. A movie I want. I don't know if it'll be any good. I don't really care.
Comes out on May 21st, right?
Wrong. Hey, well, you know, there's this big thing where HBO said day and date releases
right.
with all their movies. And then there was a big hubbub because Legendary, who finances a lot of these films, was like, hold up, wait, what? Like, we didn't invest in this movie for this. And so we got to find a deal that works. Well, part of their deal involving Godzilla vs. Kong also means the movie is moving up 2 months into March 26th. And that is part of the deal made with Legendary. So it'll still be day and date HBO, but it's going to be coming out in March instead of May, which
the big piece here is that it is occupying a window that was previously occupied by James Bond, No Time to Die, which has now been indefinitely moved back.
Right, right.
The number one most moved movie of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Is it possible? So I want to make two comments here. I was talking to Drew about the last week when we talked about Dune coming out without HBO.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And she said that, and remember last week I was like, oh, well, it's not official, but I heard it from like, you know, industry people who, you know, are kind of good sources. And Drew said that apparently it was common knowledge. I was acting like I had some kind of insider information.
Oh, really?
And apparently there were some news stories that Legendary is suing or has sued or previously sued or threatened to sue, but some kind of lawsuit against HBO for that release plan. So that was the one thing I wanted to give a shout out to Drew for having that inside information. And the other thing was a question, and I'm curious to hear, especially Mystery Gobble and some of the big James Bond fans that listen to this show, is it possible that they can continue to move No Time to Die? Can they move it again and again and again? Is it possible that we get to a point where we're like burned out, like whatever? Where, in other words, we lose our enthusiasm for the movie?
Oh, I think that for mainstream audiences, it might already be there.
We're already there.
I think a lot of these movies that were pushed back were just like strung along for so long that I think Wonder Woman had that problem.
Okay, I'll give you that. But I think on some of the bigger movies like Top Gun, for example, Top Gun has not lost any enthusiasm whatsoever. Well, it had a Christmas release, and now it has a July release.
Yeah, but look at the difference there. Top Gun wasn't constantly pushed back and have new commercials out every 3 weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
With a new date. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, movies that have been moved once a year later or even a year and a half later or in some cases 2 years later, I don't think those movies suffer anything. But I think the movies, and I think the worst offender is No Time to Die, the movies that continually get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, I think they suffer. And I think I think for real fans like myself, my enthusiasm is still high. But I have to admit, when I heard it got moved again, I was kind of like, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the first time that I heard it got moved from April of 2020, I remember being really disappointed and like crushed and hoping that they would only move it a few weeks or only move it a couple months. And now there's a standee, a large cardboard display in the lobby at Penn Cinema for No Time to Die, which is now well over a year old. And I think that standee is representative of my feelings about the franchise. Like, when it came into the building, it was hot, it was awesome looking, you know, it was super cool. I took pictures of myself in front of it. And now, like, you know, it's a little beat up, it's a little faded, it's got dust on it. Nobody really gives a shit about it. And, you know, it's just kind of like, I think that standee represents how I feel about the movie. Like, the more time goes by, the standee started out in the lobby, now it's down the hall a little bit. So, yeah. I think Godzilla versus Kong moving to March 26 is great news for everybody. And I think James Bond moving out of the April release is bad news for them.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right. Well, speaking of releases, Disney-owned Fox Searchlight Pictures, which is now called Searchlight Pictures, has announced an interesting move on their Frances McDormand. Isn't she the star?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of Nomadland. Nomadland, you remember we watched the teaser trailer months and months ago, and we were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And then we watched a regular trailer.
And we were still like, what? What the hell is this?
Right, right. And apparently this movie is a lot more artsy is the wrong word, but I read at least one article calling it the front runner for Oscar season. I still like Mank as a front runner for Oscar season. But anyway, Searchlight is releasing Nomadland on Hulu the same day as its wide theatrical release on February 19th, which is weird. I don't like that, but I guess it's consistent with what Disney's done lately. What's interesting, really has me scratching my head about this, is that Nomadland, which seems to be a pretty quiet, and I don't mean to like say it as if it's a bad thing, but it seems like it's a little bit of an artsy, a little bit of a concept movie.
Yeah, totally.
So what we're reporting right now is that Nomadland will release on Hulu same day as theatrical on February 19th, a few weeks after the film debuts in IMAX on January 29th.
It's going to have a couple weeks run in IMAX. I mean, is there nothing else to show in IMAX at that time?
That doesn't add up.
Yeah.
You know, Nomadland is the kind of movie, for people who are really familiar with Penn Cinema in Lititz, Nomadland is a movie that looks good. I'd probably opening week have it in Theater 10, since that's a nice quiet theater, and then I would move it down to Theater 1,
right,
which is where we put sort of the artsy, nice. I like putting movies there because the older audience doesn't have to walk as far to get to the door. But putting it in IMAX would not have been on my radar.
Yeah. I think that's crazy that this is the type of movie that I'm almost like, is it worth opening up the IMAX building for? Like, is anyone going to show up to watch this in IMAX?
Right.
Because
right.
I'll be honest, it looks like a well-made movie, but it's also the type of movie I'm like, is anybody going to show up for this movie, period? Like,
right, right.
Because, like I said, it looks like it's probably going to be good. I just don't know if it's going to be, like, wide audience good or even draw people in this current, you know, environment good.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have the same concerns. Whatever. All right.
Wow. Well, this is the big news of the week.
This was my favorite news story coming up. This was my favorite story of the week.
Yeah. Well, I know how you are. You know, you're the kind of guy that likes to keep his sugars high.
That's it.
You like to be able to stay up late and do your gaming.
That's
you know,
it.
You know, you're yep. like Mr. Mountain Dew is what I always call you.
That's right.
Well, the Riddler will receive his own flavor of Mountain Dew in promotion of Matt Reeves' The Batman. And it's like a weird blue color. It's not even green, which, you know, the Riddler should be green. But it's this weird
right.
blue Drano-colored look that I will totally try just out of curiosity. But
yeah, I will too. All right, so this is fun. This is like whatever.
It just,
all
seems, right, cool. It just seems weird that like – that they would promote it like that, but
oh, it's super weird. It's yeah. super weird. Like what the, but I don't know. All right.
Like, yeah. Watch it be amazing.
If you want to take this headline more seriously than it deserves, here's my thought.
Okay.
If you're asking me for a grown-up comment on this fun, ridiculous headline, my honest thought is this. I'm glad to see that the marketing team behind the Batman is keeping all options on the table. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They were sitting in a boardroom somewhere, or I guess they were on a Zoom call somewhere, and half of the people on the Zoom call were tuned out and like on their phone during the call and like not paying attention. But there was one guy or gal on the call who was all hopped up on Mountain Dew, and she was like, I got a great idea. And the one other person that was running the meeting was like, yes, what's your idea? And she was like, let's give the Riddler his own flavor of Mountain Dew in promotion of the movie. And then the person running the Zoom call was like, well, why not give the Batman his own flavor? And then she was like, because that would be ridiculous. but this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, this is way more on point.
You know what I hope? You ever drink Snapple? Like you get a Snapple? Yeah, and you open up the lid and you look inside and it has some ridiculous fact about Cape Cod or Nantucket or something.
Yeah.
I hope that when you buy a bottle of the Riddler's Mountain Dew that you open the lid and there's a riddle on the inside of the cap.
But it also says something like, you have 4 hours to solve or your family is going, you know, you never see your family again. Like it's,
right.
It's all a threat. Look. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Wonder Woman. Was that last week? Yeah.
I don't know.
But we talked about Wonder Woman.
I'm not saying the movie's forgettable. I'm just saying.
You didn't watch it. That's right. I forgot. So Gal Gadot, she's like Wonder Woman 3. What are her thoughts?
I think it's pronounced Gadot.
Oh yeah, it's Gal Gadot. She said, "We'll have to wait and see about Wonder Woman 3. You want to see a third movie? I want to see a third movie too, to have a nice closure." So I think reading between the lines here, she likes playing Wonder Woman, but after the third movie, she wants to be done.
Is it possible that you're reading old news?
Is it possible that I would read old news?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we already know that there's a third one coming.
Right. That's what I'm commenting on.
Yeah. But the news here isn't that. It's that she wants nice closure. That she sounds like she's ready to be done.
Okay. Oh, I got you. So the issue is not that there's going to be a Wonder Woman 3. The news here is that there's not going to be a Wonder Woman 4.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Nailed it.
All right. Yeah. On behalf of our listeners, I wanted to untangle that mess because I wasn't really following why this was news because I thought we already know there's going to be a third one. We're all excited for it.
Right.
And, So the news, I'm fine with that. I think that's great. Good for her. I like the trilogy concept. I like Christopher Nolan doing three Dark Knight movies. I don't know. I mean, it's just in general that a trilogy feels complete to me.
Yeah.
And there's no rule that says she can't have a cameo in some future DC movie.
Right. I mean, look at Iron Man.
Right.
Yeah. Three movies and then just kind of.
Right.
Bopping around. Also, there was some news that I forgot to put up here that Chris Evans has signed on to reprise his role as Captain America in a future project. We don't know which one. Apparently, from what we know about the contract, that it's for one more appearance and then potential for re-showing up kind of in the way that Robert Downey Jr. did in Spider-Man.
Awesome.
So maybe little spots. So, and then the biggest news of the week.
Oh.
Maybe you can unravel this mess.
Riddle me this.
Yeah. Happy 2-year anniversary to the podcast. This week, it's our 104th episode. We did it 2 full years of this show in your ears. How do you feel about that?
Does that include all the weeks that we took off?
We don't talk about this. We didn't take any weeks off, fool.
Zero. We have not missed a single week. We ain't scared. What? Oh, pandemic. We're not worried. Oh, you shut down my theaters. We're not worried. Oh, there's no movies. Yeah. We're not scared.
Yeah.
We're not.
You think two jokers like us don't have stuff to talk about?
Hey, come on. Come on. How do I feel about that? I am incredibly proud of the podcast. I'm proud of our consistency. And I have to tell you, it's a pleasure working with you, and every week it's a high point of my week. And even more specifically, like this like April, May in 2020, when we weren't really sure what was going to happen in the world, that was a really scary period, but it was nice to be able to have the podcast to just sit and make fun of movie stars and mispronounce names as best as possible. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly grateful to our listeners for supporting us, and incredibly grateful to you, David, for being the best partner a guy could ever hope for.
Oh,
and yeah. So that's how I feel about it. I'm really proud of it. I love the show, and I'm most proud of the fact that we never miss a week.
Yeah, yeah, man, I love doing this with you. I'm so glad to be here every week, and you know, it's crazy that we haven't missed a single week. That is so awesome. To both of us are just like dedicated to being here, even if we're a little late. Like we still get it in, we work it out. You know, we kind of keep it where I'm not going to say that this is like a ton of work, but it's definitely still a little bit of work on both sides. And
absolutely.
And you know, so it could be easy to be like, I don't really feel like doing it this week, but we keep on it. We get it done and we have a good time while doing it. So,
it's like some other things. Like there have definitely been days where Sunday morning, I'm like, I just can't. Like, I got other shit to do. I'm tired. Maybe I'm in a bad mood about something else or whatever. But as soon as you come on, as soon as we're connected, it's all my worries are gone. Everything's out the door. And I'm happy to be here and happy to be doing it. And I also just want to say, I love the flowers that you sent over. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The beautiful bouquet. Yeah, I just love it.
I wasn't expecting a new dog, but when I opened the door to that little bow on that little dog.
Imagine if you gave somebody a dog for a present.
It would be horrible. I really want my mom to have a pet, and I just think, maybe I'll just get her one. And then I just think of how horrible that would go when she saw it.
I threatened to give my dad a dog once. I think that would be the worst gift you could give someone.
Seriously. All right. Well, here's to another year. Let's get into trailers.
Salud. The new trailers this week, we have four. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for me to choose the trailer of the week. I thought they were all great.
They're all really solid.
So the first one is called Land.
Well, here, I want to do trailer of the week since they're so close. Trailer of the week and one you'll probably miss.
What do you mean you'll miss?
Well, like if things get busy.
Okay.
Which one of these is most likely to fall off your radar?
All right. So you're asking me for the bottom of the list first.
Sure.
Land.
Same. Land is bottom of the list for me.
Yeah. So should we talk about it, or do you want to get it to the top?
Let's talk about it.
Okay. So Land looks like all right. With that being said, I'm not trying to poo-poo this. This movie looks great. It stars Robin Wright. Looks a little intense, a little heavy. I don't know. It's about a woman who apparently has some sort of tragedy, and she escapes to the wilderness to live by herself in a cabin in the woods, where she almost dies and then is rescued by some mountain man who teaches her how to live alone in the cabin. It looks like a great movie. It looks really interesting. All four trailers this week look great. But if I had to pick the bottom of the ladder, the worst of the best, I would pick this one.
Yeah, agreed. And I thought it was interesting. It doesn't really necessarily look like it. I don't think the point of the movie at all is to have where she falls in love with the man. Like, it's very clear he comes from a troubled spot too.
Right.
And they both want to be alone, but they kind of help each other.
Okay.
You know,
so what's the number three movie for you?
Number three?
Yeah.
Willy's Wonderland.
Same.
All right. All right. This movie...
Walk us through this hot mess.
This movie, Nicolas Cage, in a stunning turn that I didn't know that he would do, looks to have a protagonist role where he doesn't speak much. And something happens to his car, and these guys like, hey, if you clean this child's amusement shop for the night. I'll fix your car. So he says to do it. And then people are like, no, you're in here. They bring people here as sacrifice and you're going to die. And then the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics come to life and start killing people. And he fights back while still trying to clean the place.
The line is, he's not trapped in there with the toys. They're trapped in there with him.
Yeah. And they're like, you're going to die in here. And he turns around and just starts cleaning the pinball machine like he doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
So the two sheriffs are getting ready. The female sheriff says to the man sheriff, put your balls on, Ed. We're going to Willie's. Yeah.
Because the machines got out, she says.
Right, the machines got out. So I don't know. Is this movie along the lines of like Zombieland?
Yeah, I think more hokey, but yeah.
I think this movie is hokey. I'm not even 100% sure. It was not entirely clear to me that this movie is even going to get a theatrical release.
Yeah, that was a little iffy at the end.
It was unclear, but the movie is called Willy's Wonderland, and if you're not picking up on it, it's totally worth watching the trailer because the movie's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the game Five Nights at Freddy's, I think that inspired it pretty hard. So, okay. All right, so what's your number two?
Okay, because my number two will reveal my number one. My number two movie is The World to Come, starring Catherine. Same?
Same.
The World to Come stars Catherine Waterson. She was in that movie with one word. She's been in a lot of good movies. She first caught my attention in a movie a number of years ago. It's like, it's not Inherent or something like that. But anyway, it stars Catherine Waterson, Vanessa Kirby, Christopher Abbott, and one of my favorites, Casey Affleck. You remember Casey Affleck from the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
So Catherine Waterson's in Fantastic Beasts. She was in Alien Covenant.
Inherent Vice, I think, is the movie
Inherent
I'm thinking
Vice,
of.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, The World to Come is a love story between, I guess you could say it's a forbidden love story between these two women out there on the Atlantic. It's like the Wild West, but it takes place on the East Coast, I think.
Yeah, I think just Pioneer Times is...
Pioneer Times.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like a pretty intense movie. It also looks beautiful. So, yeah, The World to Come. Land and The World to Come are both booked for Penn Cinema. So if you're listening to this and you're a Penn Cinema guest, you can plan to see those both coming to the theater. I don't know if Willy's Wonderland is going to come or not.
Well, okay. Our number one, we agree, number one trailer for this week is so good. When I was waiting for us to connect, I just had it replaying because I love the music in it so much. I cannot wait. This movie is called Music, and it's by Sia, featuring 10 new songs by Sia. So it's going to be a musical filled with her music. And it's the plot is a young lady who's kind of a mess, kind of into drugs, into trouble, whatever. She's on probation. Her grandmother dies. And her grandmother was taking care of her younger sister, who is autistic.
And the older sister is played by Kate Hudson.
Yes, right. Almost unrecognizable with no hair.
Right.
Yeah. And she has to take care of her autistic younger sister, who just, I think they call her Music because she just listens to music and can't really communicate much. And it's like I don't know if coming to age is the right word, but she kind of has to like grow up and start to take care of her sister and learn to love her sister. And
it has a tiny bit the same feel as Rain Man.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit. It's a totally different style movie, but the plot has a little bit of that similar, a sibling who's not really well connected to a younger sibling who's autistic. They make a connection and apparently have some bond. And what I found really exciting about this, in addition to the two women, is the helpful neighbor is played by Leslie Odom Jr., who we all love from Hamilton. So So yeah, I mean, the talent on this screen is unbelievable, and or as Oprah would say, it's unbelievable. I can't wait to see this. This movie's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and the dancing and the music and stuff looks like it trademarks Sia music videos, which I love.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I presume this comes out at the end of February, right?
I was just going to say, do we have a release date on it? I'll look that up while we're talking.
Okay, I think it's the end of February. It looks amazing. The music, yeah. The music in the trailer is great. If you like Sia, I think it's definitely. And if you're not familiar with Sia, definitely look up some of her videos because I don't know if this is the same girl that dances in all of her stuff as playing the young girl or not. I didn't check, but she has like a girl who dances in all of her stuff that just kind of does a great job, and I think Shia LaBeouf was in one of her videos, and it was pretty good. So,
All right. So those are our trailers, four good ones: Land, The World to Come, Willy's Wonderland, and our trailer of the week, Music.
Music. So, last week we said we were going to review Monster Hunter.
I spoiled the surprise, didn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. We're going to do that next week. But so I guess you can say our noses were growing. Because instead, we watched Pinocchio. Did you watch Pinocchio?
I did. I watched Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. What did you think of Pinocchio with a screenplay by Guillermo de Bobo?
Guillermo de Bobo. I have a little bit of mixed feelings. I loved this movie, and I recommend it to people. I wish, and I'm going to look tomorrow when I get to work, I'm going to look into whether or not it's too late for me to do this. I wish I had watched the Italian version with English subtitles instead of the dubbed English.
Yes, I agree.
So that's the only thing that took me out of this movie a little bit. It's obviously filmed in Italy, Italian cast, who obviously performed in Italy in using Italian, their native language, their native tongue, if you will. And the dubbed English, which is the version we have playing at Penn Cinema, it was distracting because it was clearly – and I hope you know what I mean when I say this. It was clearly like American English. Like they were American voice actors trying to use an Italian accent.
See, I didn't
know.
I would have said that it to me, it seemed like a bad translation by maybe some people who didn't speak English natively.
Well, there was that problem too.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely, like, there was definitely a few times where there was some, it didn't translate well.
Yeah, and I agree. To go with what you're saying, I was pretty disappointed it wasn't in subtitled right off the bat because you could tell it was different. And whether or not they were actual Italians or American Italians, I don't know if this is like a cultural difference in just like interpreting tone or whatever, because I know that I have Italian heritage, and this is something I noticed, but that Italian English accent and style of talking that they use comes off extremely aggressive all the time, no matter what the tone. And so, like, things that would have come across more heartfelt or more whatever just come very, it's very abrasive, like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Like, they're just like pounding you instead of like, oh my gosh, where's he at? Oh my gosh. It's just very, very, very aggressive. Every single line is like a hard statement rather than like something that you feel behind. And that really took me out of the movie hard.
Yeah. And what was the name? Roberto Benigni. Benigni. He won an Oscar. I'm sure you remember his acceptance for his Oscar when he won an Oscar for Life is Beautiful. And he had that incredible where he was walking on the arms of the chairs through the audience up to the stage. And, you know, he is an incredible talent. And I felt like the dubbing took a little bit away from, you know, because it wasn't his. We were not able to hear his, even if I didn't speak Italian, I would have liked to have heard his inflections and his tone. And, you know, so, I mean, he's an incredible talent, and I feel like I would have appreciated hearing his performance rather than hearing some voice actors.
Yeah.
Now, with all that being said, the cinematography is beautiful, the acting is amazing, the cast, I just love I'm going to like contradict myself because Roberto Benigni is so amazing, but I also enjoy, like, it's fun having a cast of just old people that you know, that are not movie stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That are just, you know, talented actors, and they look very authentic, and the fantasy of the, you know, the fairy tale of Pinocchio. I didn't think about it during the movie, but afterwards, did you feel as though it was jarring?
Yes.
When, like, they would just from one sort of chapter to the next?
Yeah, it didn't. There were things that just, I was going to bring that up. It just didn't, like, the actual beat points were really nice to watch. Like, they,
right.
They worked. I really liked the, like, designs of things, except for, weirdly, they had these great animatronics, and then they just shove a human face on it. And it was like, it didn't make any sense, or like things didn't build up. Like, I don't remember the other puppets actually being alive. Like, that was really,
there was right.
No explanation. They're like, where are your strings? But the strings didn't seem to like have any meaning. I don't know. Anyway,
right.
It did really feel jarring, because it would be like a scene would end and he'd just be at the beginning of the next thing.
Right.
There was no transition of how he got there or what was going on or what.
Which may have been a conscientious choice by the director, because it did feel like did you read Pinocchio when you were a kid? Like,
did you ever?
I mean, you know, you're reading one of those weird, you know, stories, and it's like, you know, and you turn the page and now he's turning into a donkey. Like I do think it was consistent with the fairy tale. It was jarring as a moviegoer, but it may have been an artistic decision to do it like that to be consistent. I don't know. I'm trying to give them benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah. This seemed like it was so close to being absolutely amazing,
right?
And just kind of missed the mark.
Yeah. No, I think that's spot on. Yeah. I also was going to say, I knew it was a different kind of movie because it gets right into it and then it stops. Like, the beginning of the movie, there's the opening scene and then, or not scene, but the opening sort of image, and then it says right across the screen, Pinocchio.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're right into it. And there's none of this, you know. You did have the, before all that, it said the roadside attractions logo and stuff, but it wasn't like directed by, starring by, cinematography by, you know, presented by, produced by, you know, how we've talked before about how I don't like that when movies have like 16 things, you know, I don't like movies that try to take care of business. I'm trying to go on a trip. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get lost in a movie, and you're trying to, you know, satisfy people's. Every time I see somebody's name on there, I think about the negotiation that their talent manager had with the studio about yeah. when and where and how big and all that kind of stuff. So I was really pleased. The movie starts with a big screen says Pinocchio, and then they get right into it. And then same thing at the end, like the little boy embraces the dad, you know, the Bobo, he turns into a real boy, and they embrace in this field in this very, you know, pleasing moment. And then it's over. That's the final, there's no, you know,
yeah,
lights up, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a real boy. You still have a house with no roof. Bye, end of story.
I don't know. So we're nitpicking, I think, some problems, but this is a beautiful movie. And if you appreciate, let me get my pinky out. And, you know, I think this is a beautiful film. And if you appreciate that kind of thing, if you're into that, it'll be playing at Penn Cinema for another week.
Now, here's something that I noticed that was crazy.
Uh-oh.
First off, if you would have said you're going to go see a movie this weekend and it's going to be Pinocchio, what should I prepare for in the theater? What what kind of environment. I would have said, I'm going to show up, and it'll be me and maybe one other person watching this foreign film, Pinocchio. Not only did I show up to the theater, and there were like a ton of people there, and I was like, hey, this is good news. But I roll into Pinocchio, and there's like 20 people seeing this movie. And I'm like, do they all know that this is Pinocchio? Do they know it's a, do they know it's a foreign film? And I was ready for like, how many of these people are going to get up and walk out? And right. And I was not only that, but then I was also shocked by like the great varying age brackets of people, from like dates to like father son, you know, full siblings, like young kids to full adults. I was, and you know 20 somethings, 30 somethings. I was really surprised at how many people were seeing this movie, because I would have not thought it had such a broad appeal.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and nobody left. Nobody left, I should say. So, although the guy in front of me, pretty sure he wanted to leave. He was there for his girlfriend, and he was on his phone a lot. So, you could tell he was ready to go. But anyway, so I would say Pinocchio's, you know, if you like the story of Pinocchio, or if you like really cool cinematography, it's worth checking out.
Yep, for sure.
All right, moving on to listener notes, questions, and answers. Pirate Dave, he said, how did you get that clip of me last week?
Pirate Captain Dave.
How did you get that clip of me last week? He was furious. To which I replied and I said, we didn't have a clip. That was just Penn Ketchum doing an impersonation of you. He was shocked. Shocked. He couldn't believe it. So.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. So we also heard from Joe Colts. Tell us about that.
Okay. I'm going to let you tell us about Joel Clothes. I want to tell us about Frodo.
Okay. All right, you tell us about Frodo.
Just because it's a nice segue from Pirate Captain Dave. So she writes in and says she's completely on the same page with Dave about Pixar is a legit top shelf studio, regardless of whether or not, you know, I think it's pretty hilarious. So this is important to me because whether she knows it or not, Frodo is now our in-house animation like expert, resource, fact checker, validator. She's our validator in chief, if you will. And so she's on board with Dave in terms of like, yeah, Pixar makes art for everybody. And so yeah, so that's cool. I'm glad that, that she's on board with that concept. She also gave me a shout out, gave me props for one of my many fake words when I reported last week about how my lovely wife Amy is now always a beforethought.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is true. And by the way, can I just use this moment, Dave, to give a shout out, or not a shout out, but a reminder to our audience members, those of you who are seeing somebody. Valentine's Day is just but a moment away. So plan ahead, boys and girls.
Whoa.
Don't stop at CVS on your way home from work. I'll just leave it there.
Learn from the master.
And the last thing Frodo said was she was a big fan. She gave you, David, big shout out for – now, this is another one. Like, she gave you a big shout out because she's a big fan of the hurdy-gurdy.
Who isn't? That's my question.
Now, I want to raise this question.
Yeah. Raise away.
All right. First of all, a pair of tickets to anybody who can email me, podcast@penncinema.com. What Grateful Dead song references the hurdy-gurdy play? If you can tell me without, now we're using the honor system, no Googling. If you know what song that's from, okay, I'll give you a pair of tickets to see anything you want. But my real question, the one I was actually going to say, is what do you do with your life that you get to a point where now you walk around and you're like, I like fast cars, I like good movies. You meet different people that like different things. I'm a foodie. I like big, I like good food.
Yeah.
I really like the outdoors. I love golf. I love Frisbee. I love rap music, whatever. How do you get to a point in your life where you're a big fan of the hurdy-gurdy?
My man, it just, it happens overnight.
So what?
1 minute you don't know the hurdy-gurdy exists. The next minute you're 4 hours deep in a YouTube like search on people playing the hurdy-gurdy.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
It's, yeah?
It's scary.
Okay.
And you're just like, this is my jam. And you find people writing pirate-themed rock music with the hurdy-gurdy as the major instrument in it. And welcome to your new life.
Yeah.
All right. You know?
Well, maybe the answer to my question is, maybe you just answered my question or at least helped me. Maybe it's part of if you're really into music.
Maybe.
Or if you're really into pirates. Music or pirates. It's got to be one of those things.
Yeah. You want to know how I found out about the hurdy-gurdy?
I do. Okay. Somebody gave you a 3D puzzle for Christmas.
No, dog. I bought that for myself because I already love the hurdy-gurdy.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, because I was like, I got time. There's nothing to do on this long weekend. So I bought myself a hurdy-gurdy puzzle because I've been wanting to learn how to play the hurdy-gurdy for a couple of years now.
Oh, my God. This is not happening.
Because I wanted to learn how to play. But I can't. I have legit looked up and down the Northeast Coast for places where you can learn how to play the hurdy-gurdy. And there's no teachers here. But like in Germany, where they make them, there's teachers teaching all over the place. So I'm just in the wrong zone.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll bet you $100 there's a hurdy-gurdy instructor in San Francisco, California.
Oh, yeah. I'm just on the wrong coast. You're guaranteed.
You're on the wrong coast, brother.
If I was on the right coast, I'd get it.
Right.
What I want is to find someone who teaches music, so they're already a teacher, who can pick up an instrument, learn it, and teach it to somebody else to be like, I'll teach you how to play the hurdy-gurdy. And then I will be there with my wallet. And I say, the time has come for me to buy a real hurdy-gurdy because they're like multiple thousands of dollars.
Right.
And I'll buy one and I'll learn how to play the hurdy-gurdy. And then you'll be like, let's go to the Renaissance Fair. And I'll be like, I'm ready. And I'll have it like already on and ready to go and everything. But I learned about the hurdy-gurdy because I play a pirate video game called Sea of Thieves. And in it, you can play instruments together with people. And one of them is the hurdy-gurdy. And I was like, this is a really cool instrument. It's really weird how it has the crank and it plays all the strings. So I started Googling it. Next thing you know, pirate-themed rock bands, bunch of people playing all, making new hurdy-gurdy music. Then you've got Renaissance hurdy-gurdy music. You have like masterclass hurdy-gurdy players. It's crazy.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm in a hurdy-gurdy now. I guess that's how it happens.
That is how it happens.
Yeah, because here I am, and now I'm looking up hurdy-gurdy.
Next thing you know, Amy's going to come in and be like, where have you been the last 4 days? And you'll be like, just been watching hurdy-gurdy videos.
The most famous hurdy-gurdy, of course, can be most famously seen in Pieter Bruegel's Majestic Triumph of Death, being played by a skeleton watching the enormous rampant destruction of life of death passing before his eyes.
Oh, I mean, that's obviously the most famous one that everyone knows about.
that's from an art history page.
Wow.
All right. We have spent way too long on hurdy-gurdy. Yeah, tell us about what Joel Coates said.
Oh, yeah. Joel Coates. He wrote in about Wonder Woman. And he wrote in before he listened to our review, or my review. I mean, he says, I enjoyed the movie.
Hey. That's a little blow. You thought I wasn't paying attention. You thought you were going to just skate on by. That was some cold-blooded stuff right there.
Did you just delete his whole email? I can't read it if it's not there. All right, so Joel Coates says, I enjoyed the movie. It's not as good as the first one, for sure, and it's not one I'm clamoring to see again, but I'm glad I saw it. And I'm glad I saw it in IMAX. I think if I tried to watch it at home, I probably would have not have been able to get past the cheesiness and not liked it. Referencing how he also noted that some of it's filmed like it was filmed in the 80s.
What I took away from this was two things.
Okay. All right.
First of all, I think he was agreeing with us that the bigger screen you saw this on, the more likely you were to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, so he saw it in IMAX, and he's glad he did. If he tried to watch it at home, he wouldn't have been able to get past the cheesiness. But the second thing that I really want to comment on is I just want to give a shout-out to our listeners who have the most amazing vocabulary of any podcast audience in the world. And what I mean by that is this. I can't think of a time that I have clamored to see anything. I've been excited for stuff.
Never clamored.
I've been enthusiastic. I don't think I've ever clamored. Have you been clamoring to see anything, Dave?
You know, here's the thing. One, what exactly is clamoring?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, have I waited hours in line to see a movie? Sure.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Is that not clamoring?
I don't think it is. I think clamoring includes like being vocal, like demand, like, you know, some, I picture almost like a picket sign.
A riot is what you're picturing.
No, not a riot, but like a enthusiastic, like cheering, like chanting.
Oh, sure. I've had that experience in life.
I think you know, when you clamor, you clamor when you're at a concert and the show is over and you want them to come out and do one more song. The audience was clamoring for an encore.
Guess what? You know, before Frodo writes in, let's get the definition straight up. Okay. Make a vehement protest or demand, or gerund or present participle. Clamoring, shout loudly and intensely.
Yeah, shout loudly or intensely. Yeah, all right. But wouldn't you just say it's not one I'm shouting loudly to go see again? But no, our listeners are smarter than you and me, David. They use big words. So Joel Coates wrote in and said, it's not as good as the first one for sure, and it's not one I'm clamoring to see again, but I'm glad I saw it, and I'm glad I saw it in IMAX.
What a guy.
He's a smart dude.
Who would have thought? In our audience.
You probably graduated high school in 4 years.
not eight, like the one you did?
Not everybody can say that they graduated in 4 years. Let's just put that on the record.
All right.
Not all of us were able to just coast through high school in 4 years like some sophisticates.
All right, let's move on. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you doing this week? What'd you get up to this week?
All right, I got a quick report. Okay. I've been watching a lot of football because last weekend had some great playoff games. Kayla and I and Marley, I think just Kayla and Amy and I watched Little Miss Sunshine.
Classic.
Which we loved. We also watched a Disney movie called Clouds, which is aimed towards, I think, like a younger audience, like a teenage audience. It was a beautiful movie, but it's very heavy. And in a way, it's about a boy who's dying from cancer. It's based on a true story. The guy wrote a song called Clouds, and apparently it's like a super popular song. And the movie is beautiful. What I appreciated about it was it's very direct. So if you have Disney Plus, I actually do recommend Clouds. Watch it with a box of tissues because you will cry. Or if you don't cry, then you're an animal. Like this is a moving, a very powerful movie. And one of the things that I appreciated about it that made it so powerful is that it does not shy away from, you know, the reality of what it's like, you know, for the person with cancer, but also for the family. And it's intense. It's an intense little movie. Then the other movie that I watched, and to be honest, I didn't finish it because I ran out of time, but I was a little disappointed. We talked last week or a couple weeks ago about this movie on Netflix called Outside the Wire.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed. Like, I'm probably going to go back to it and watch the end just to sort of see what happens. But the script is awful. The acting is questionable. The set pieces are cheap looking. It looks like the whole thing was filmed on Warner Brothers lot in California. which, you know, whatever, but I don't know. I started watching Outside the Wire on Netflix, and I'm reporting here that I did not love it.
Wow. Wow.
What are you up to? What are you watching and reading?
So this week I watched the movie Ava, or as I like to call it, Agent Mom Cop. This movie did not do Jessica Chastain justice in any way.
Right.
I just was really disappointed in that that aspect of it. It's not the worst movie ever made or anything, but it's not very good. And the cost, the costume design, everything is horrible.
Do you remember I saw it? Do you remember what I said about it? Like it was like okay, but I felt like it was the same thing. Like you've seen it before.
Yeah, yeah. And she just, I don't know. I don't want to say it's Jessica Chastain, but this movie did not sell her as an action star for me.
Right.
So there's that part. Then, premiering yesterday, the first of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Disney Plus, WandaVision premiered its first two episodes, which I watched, and I am going to controversially say did not capture me. So I'm going to keep watching, but I'm going to tell you this. If it wasn't Marvel, and if I didn't have enough faith that it was going to go someplace great, this would not be enough for me to keep watching the show.
Wow.
So I'm kind of surprised everyone's kind of like so gung-ho about it. I think it might, like the very end of the second episode has some stuff that like really gets you hooked, but I don't think the first episode had anything to hook you in. They're only a half hour long. So I'm to me, that puts a lot of weight on the following episodes to carry a lot of stuff. I also think that perhaps there's not going to be as much in these, in the show as, you know, we might be expecting. I think it's going to be a lot of it's going to be a short plot and a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of things left for the movies to handle. That's my guess. I don't know. I'm just guessing off of this because I think there's only 8 episodes and it, 30 minutes a piece, that's a lot to do. The pace is going to have to totally pick up. We'll see what happens. I'll report back next week when we have another episode. But
I would love to hear what our listeners think of this show. But David, you said, you presented what you just said about the show almost as if you might be in the minority. I haven't seen it, but I've been hearing, I think, just anecdotally, pretty mixed bag. Like I had one friend of mine post on Facebook that it was the best thing since sliced bread. And then I had another friend of mine post on Facebook, like what a yawn, he wasn't into it, blah, blah, blah. So are you think I'm missing it? Like, do you feel like it's people are generally liking it?
I don't know. I'll say that the people in the articles that I've seen and stuff all seem to lead to thinking that it's like a masterpiece in the works, that it's really exciting what's going on. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded because I've read the comics and it seems kind of obvious where they're going. I don't want to like taint that for anybody, but so I won't say where I think, but there are some exciting things in it, like little glimpses of the organization SHIELD SHIELD, SWORD might be coming in here, or definitely is coming in here. And that really interests me, and I want to know more about that. But the actual, like, I get what they're going with this. They're like, okay, each episode is done in the style of a TV show. But where it lost me was, instead of just being, like, in the style of the TV show, it's like they wrote two episodes with these characters as that, like, there wasn't enough other things. It was just like, I was watching this kind of weird parody of first the Dick Van Dyke Show and then Bewitched. And it wasn't until the end of the Bewitched one that like you really started to see some of the more like larger picture stuff. And if I wanted to watch Dick Van Dyke or Bewitched, which both are great, I could go watch them. And that's kind of what I was thinking about doing this. So
I think listening to you talk about Marvel is one of my favorite things in the world.
I have opinions, okay?
I see that, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The other thing I got into this week was SNL. Thanks to you, who recommended the I don't even remember the name. The girl.
Stranger Danger. Stranger, and I forgot Danger. To put it on our Facebook page. I'm going to do it right now.
So I went and I watched a couple of like her skits, and then it recommended a compilation by SNL of what's his name? Chad. All the Chads.
Yeah.
Things. I wound up watching those compilations a couple times. Okay. Uh-huh. Cool. How everyone falls in love with him. Like all the women immediately fall in love with this Chad guy who's got nothing to offer. Anyway, right. Those were a lot of fun. So check those.
Yeah. Out. Yeah. He does a fun one with RuPaul, but I know we're not my, RuPaul is questionable now, right? I mean, we got enlightened about that this week. Yeah. A listener wrote in and let us know that RuPaul might not be 100% cool with us.
Right.
Which I was it was funny because I was sorry to hear that and a little bit disappointed. And it wasn't like, cancel culture where now you can't watch the show. But it was just more like, hey, be a little bit more aware of who you're talking about and what they're doing. And I was a little bit disappointed to hear it. For obvious reasons, but then also, like, once that was pointed out to me, like, kind of made sense. Like, I started looking at it through a little bit more honest lens, I guess, and it seemed like, yeah, there's some questions. Yeah. But anyway, my point is that was a really funny skit with Chad and RuPaul.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so next week we're going to watch Monster Hunter, for real. I'm going to go
Thank
see
God.
Tonight.
I can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
What's great about this is we're holding Monster Hunter over at Penn Cinema only so that I can watch it for the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I cannot wait to make fun of this movie. So, all right. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, the number one way you can do that is send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. You know we'll respond. We might even give you a cool nickname if you're lucky. So, but if you want to support the show in other ways, what's the best way to do that?
Well, what's been happening most recently is what you want to do is you want to join the cast of Saturday Night Live.
Okay, step one.
And yeah, step one, join the cast of Saturday Night Live. And then what you want to do is become the host of Weekend Update. Okay. Which is their hilarious news parody segment. And then while you're – and this has been – I don't know if you know, you've been watching a lot of SNL, so you might have seen this. But Michael Che has been doing this. He ends every news segment with check out the Penn Cinema podcast. So that's what you want to do. You just want to join Saturday Night Live, get on the Weekend Update segment, and then close out every segment with check out Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah. That's the number one way to support us.
I mean, that's the easiest thing I could think of.
All right. Well, once again for the show, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.